WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey, guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use that here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple, guys. If you also want to follow the channel, you can hit the button, or if you just want to hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You know, that's the deal. It's a Thursday. You tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. So, yeah, we're here
to preview Hell in a Cell,
which apparently starts tomorrow.
They're kicking it off early, chat. They're gonna do it. Like, you know, they announced tonight, for whatever reason, as we're going to air, that, you know, hey, we're just gonna do the Hell in a Cell between Roman and Rey on SmackDown. So could there be shenanigans? I don't know. Maybe we'll discuss that a little bit later in the show. But definitely an interesting move on their part to do that tomorrow for the title.
For the title, yeah, instead of the pay per view.
I don't know if they want to test the setup or what they want to do.
Well, the setup's fine. They ran it 6 months ago. It was fine. I don't know. Same setup. I don't know. Who cares? We'll preview like normal.
But yeah, so we are talking Hell in a Cell a little bit later in the show, but we're going to do a real quick NXT rundown. We're not doing news. We're not doing Tweet of the Weeks because I had to drive my father to the airport at 6 o'clock this morning. So, yeah, we're doing a little bit of a shorter show because I'm tired, guys.
She's tired. We're making it through, so we'll hit this bumper.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
For those who listen to the Rack Extra Reviews NXT TakeOver In Your House review show that aired on Sunday, told you.
Mole.
I told you. I told each and every one of you what will happen, and guess what? It did.
That's right. William Regal, tired of the bedlam with a tear in his eye on Sunday, said, you know what? It's time for a change. I've been GM for 7 years, and I'm basically sick of these kids' shit. What I find hilarious is I tweeted out that I'm waiting for William Regal to get sick of everybody and start throwing hands, and that's not quite what happened. He hired somebody to throw hands for him, basically, because, you know, he's above that now.
He's above that and now. He's very much so above that. So what happened on Tuesday was he was given this heartfelt speech. Talk about everything NXT's accomplished, right? Even going sitting in with his grandchildren or something, and watching an NXT show in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
He laid it on pretty thick, and he was about to retire. Karrion Kross came out, and he was reveling in getting rid of Regal, right? And not so fast. Samoa Joe returned.
Woo!
And Regal's like, "I want you to be general manager of NXT," and he's like, "No,
no,
but
do not want,
but." How about this? And this is, he's muscle. Regal agreed, other than he can't be in the ring or he can't touch anyone unless physically provoked.
What I really liked about this is that Karrion Kross is standing there smiling, right? And, you know, that smile gets bigger as Regal likes, you can't lay hands on anybody. And Kross is like, yeah, you can't touch me. There's nothing you can do to me. And he's all confident and cocksure. And then Regal kind of looks at Kross and he's like, unless you're provoked. And provoked is a very general gray term, y'all. Provocation comes in all forms. And it was Joe's turn to smile as Cross's face just fell because he knew he was screwed. And Joe wasted no time because stuff happened later in the show backstage. Joe was provoked and he choked out promptly, not even like 2 hours into his new duties, promptly choked out Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, like you do, you know, respectfully.
Okay, I'm going to answer a couple things in chat. No, he was never with AEW.
Mm-mm.
Everyone thought he could go there. Two, it's touchy with Joe. I don't think he's been cleared to wrestle, but he's been cleared to be physical. Just like Steve Austin was never cleared to wrestle again, but was cleared to be physical. So it's like not taking bumps, not risking head injury, just do it in an environment where you're just having a fight.
Yeah, so it we'll have to see how they handle that. I mean, I think everybody would love to have Samoa Joe Karrion Kross. I've heard that thrown out multiple times. We'll just see if they can make that happen or not. But it's a better, more elegant solution, I feel like, for Joe, because he's not behind the announcer's desk, even though he's phenomenally good at it. He wanted to be able to be more active. This will allow him to have a more active role in the product. And what's nice is that it takes some of the travel duties off of Regal, because he's been flying back and forth. Not that he hadn't been, but he's been flying back and forth to Orlando now during the pandemic, off and on for a year plus. This will allow Joe, especially if NXT ever decides to go on the road, that he can travel for Regal. So he doesn't have to be there every week. They can do kind of what they do for Walter, where you have Regal via satellite, and then Joe can be there every week.
And it also allows Joe to be a part of the product. He has a backstage role as well, so.
Yeah, it was, and basically this is Hunter being entirely displeased with the fact that Joe got let go, and he went mine and yoinked Joe back as fast as humanly possible. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe's phone didn't ring like 2 hours or an hour after it got announced.
So they make good with it, but everyone think NXT and WWE are the same thing. They are, but they're not. They have two different departments.
And Hunter has more jurisdiction over NXT. And what hurt Joe was, one, he mysteriously got hurt, but two, Hunter kind of lost.
Stroke.
Hunter and Heyman lost power backstage, and that hurt a lot of the NXT guys that got pulled up. Where, because Hunter would protect his people, and then he wasn't able to. And that's what you've kind of seen, that sort of slide, is because Hunter doesn't have that influence anymore. He has it over NXT, and he can get who he wants. So I would be interested to see if they don't potentially get Aleister Black back as well. But if it, in Aleister's case and Joe's case, I hope you ask for a shit ton of money. Because you deserve it. You're worth it. And speaking of money...
Ha 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 ha.
Ha 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 ha. The $1 million champion made his inaugural appearance on NXT. LA Knight was presented with the actual $1 million title, not the replica that they put in the plastic briefcase, on Tuesday night. And Ted came out. He had security guards. He had the nice fancy title set up. They had the sparklers. Ted presented Knight with the belt. And, you know, they're parading around with it. Knight's all proud. And then, well, Knight's like, you know, I got what I want. I don't need you anymore. And he kicks Ted DiBiase in the gut and beats him up and leaves with the title. This brought out Cameron Grimes, who proceeds to try to be the good son, in quotations, and defends Ted from LA Knight, and they have a little bit of scuffle. And Ted's laying there laughing, and it's like, honestly, because Grimes is like, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve this legacy. And it's like, Ted's laying there laughing. It's like, honestly, that's like the most Ted DiBiase thing Knight could have done, because I think we were all waiting for like some level of double cross somewhere in this whole thing with that title from Ted, and it didn't come from Ted, it came from LA Knight.
Mm-hmm. One, props to Ted.
Yes.
This man took as clean of a back bump as you'll ever see.
It was pretty.
He is a 67-year-old man taking a clean, flat back bump like he did when he probably hasn't taken one in a couple of years, because I heard he was doing stuff on the indies, choking out people, but him taking a flat back bump like that sold it pretty well. It was, from a technical standpoint, he just, that snap when he hit the punch and he just snapped right down on it. It was a thing of beauty. Cameron's now gonna help him probably get the belt back, so that'll be cool.
They're gonna work together instead of working against each other, and again, it's only gonna do good things for Cameron Grimes and LA Knight, because they can really learn from Ted. They can get a nice rub from him, and it will continue to help them both grow within NXT. Because, like we keep saying, Cameron has really come into his own with the character, and this now gives it another level, another dimension where it's not as superficial. There's more depth to it now, which is good. So you still have the old Cameron Grimes, but he's just rich now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
So that's NXT. We're now going to shift gears to Hell in a Cell. Live this Sunday on the WWE Network and Peacock.
And I just want to get this out of the way now, first, because it's technically, in theory, tomorrow night on SmackDown, so let's just go ahead and talk about it, because it's actually not on the pay-per-view, supposedly. And that is, the Universal Championship will be on the line in a Hell in a Cell match, Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio. They've gotten a lot of people's attention by moving it, and I'm predicting nothing but shenanigans with this, where it's either going to lead to somebody else challenging Roman,
Dominic,
or the title on Sunday, where it's not in a cell match.
Or it could be in a cell match.
But they could be reducing it down to one.
They could. I mean, it's all possible, but I would assume it's going to be in a cell on Sunday as well. I just loved on SmackDown last week, Roman Reigns, Chuck Dominic Mysterio, like, out of the ring, all the way down onto the stage. He powerbombed his ass far.
He threw him like a football.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
he did.
Like, Jesus. And Dominic is not small.
No.
Dominic's like 6'2", 6'3"?
Looking it up.
And at least probably 200 pounds, which is nothing for someone like Roman to throw 200, 250 pounds. But he did. He just hurled Dominic Mysterio like a goddamn football. It was impressive. It was really impressive. Like, I gotta give Roman props on that. It looked badass when he did it.
6'1", 200.
Okay.
But when you compare him to his father, who's 5'7".
Yeah.
You see,
yeah, he looks gigantic next to his father.
Yeah. So the match is Rey Mysterio. The premise is Rey Mysterio called out Roman after he got beat up by Roman Reigns the previous week. And then he beat up his boy the previous week as well, choked him out. So Rey was standing up for his family and challenged Roman Reigns to a fight inside Hell in a Cell for the WWE Universe title last week on SmackDown. Alright, cool. Heyman accepted on Talking Smack, and here we are. And then Rey tweets around 8:30, 9 o'clock tonight, I want the match tomorrow. Tomorrow. Roman Reigns accepted like 9:20. It's like, the hell, guys. What are you doing to me to make sure I have to watch this show live tomorrow when I wanted to watch the Sixers game? Thanks. I appreciate you all, number one. Number two, and no, we're not talking about yesterday, Matt. Just no.
I'm stunned as anybody about yesterday, honestly.
We're not talking about it. We're just moving.
They had a 16-point lead. They should have won that game.
Anyway, no matter what happens, there will be shenanigans, as Lindsay mentions. And I believe Dominic Mysterio will be fighting Roman Reigns on Sunday, maybe in a cell, maybe not. I'm not sure, but it will be for the title probably on Sunday, because I don't think it'll be the Uso drama.
I mean, it could be. What if the fight for Jay Soul continues, and it's what if Jimmy turns on Roman fully, or Jay turns on Roman?
I don't think that happens yet. I think we're going to get there at some point where there's some sort of...
I think that's SummerSlam, honestly.
Middle ground, where something happens where either they all get together or they all fall apart. Something along that line is going to happen.
Because I feel like for that drama in particular, somebody needs to remind Jay that he bullied you into this position. He forced you into it. You didn't do this necessarily by choice. You were forced to be his lackey. So somebody needs to remind Jay of that, and I think that's what Jimmy's trying to do. I'm just not sure what they're doing by putting it on SmackDown. It's a really, really interesting concept, and I'm a little pissed that I'm going out of town tomorrow and I'm going to be gone. Because I actually really would want to see how they're going to do that and what's going to happen in that whole setup. Because I don't know, man. I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, I'm assuming there's either some kind of shenanigans and there's no winner.
No, there will be a winner. Trust me, there will be a winner. It's Hell in a Cell. There is no Bray Wyatt magic that's going to stop it.
Well, I mean, there could be.
See, I was the one who brought it up and she didn't have to.
I mean, Bray Wyatt could completely, totally manifest himself inside the cell and take out Roman Reigns. Roman did steal his title from him about a year ago. So, you know, it could happen. It could totally happen. Bray has not been seen on TV, and he's been taken out of the Alexa Bliss storyline. He's now the Darkness. They could easily move him over to SmackDown, although that would be kind of a mistake because Raw needs people desperately right now. But you could bounce him around until you find him a home.
No. Anyway, I think Roman
Reigns... I'm going to keep bringing him up to basically just manifest him.
I know. I know. I told you this before the show, and my answer was still no.
But I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be able to see it. So that would be the perfect time for him to come back. I'm just saying that's how that would work.
No, you're going to be safe.
He's just killing my dream, Chat. Right here, he's just killing it.
Chat's agreeing with me. So
God damn it, Chat, go to the corner. You're all banned. Every single last one of you. You're all banned.
All right, Roman Reigns. Roman wins. Then Dominic stands up for his father and challenges Roman to a match on Sunday.
Probably.
All right, so are you agreeing Roman Reigns?
Yeah, Roman's gonna win. I mean, there's no question on that, because this is there's no disqualification. You're gonna have some level of shenanigans. They're doing this to set up something else. What that is, we don't know, but they're going for a ratings grab. They're gonna do something else on Sunday with Roman. Just the question is what. So yeah, Roman wins.
April, Roman wins. No.
Oh,
Wheel,
it's being saucy tonight.
Wrestler one,
Wheels Roman.
They're split. It's never good.
Never, ever good. All right, let's get into what will actually take place at Hell in a Cell.
On Sunday. So speaking of shenanigans and the Darkness and Alexa Bliss and the Bray Wyatts and all that other stuff, let's talk about Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. This has not been a lot of people's most favorite storyline. It took a really hard turn on Monday where they grounded Lily.
They put her in the corner.
They put her in the corner. They took her out of the equation for the time being.
She's on permanent timeout.
But we saw other magics and Alexa Bliss hypnotizing Reginald and using Reginald setting up Reginald to her advantage, basically. I think that will play a part on Sunday for sure, because Nia and Reginald will probably be at ringside.
Mm-hmm.
So we see more of Alexa's powers coming out that are easy to manifest versus using special effects to manifest, which is good for her being on the road, because we're T-minus a month now from them officially going back out on the road.
Yes, we are.
So, you know, they have to set all that up and have that ready to go.
Get your tickets now.
I'm interested to see how this match goes. I'm very curious to see what they do.
Curious.
Because it's not going to be a straight up wrestling match.
I mean, as we saw on Monday, she pretty much did a straight up wrestling match with some quirkiness, but it was
straight up.
But her movement, it wasn't really like, there weren't any actual shenanigans in the match.
I think there will be here, though.
I'm not sure. I mean, after the match, yeah. I think we're going to get a hypnotized Reginald at some point, but beyond that, I think this is going to be straight up a wrestling match, and this is a point to get Alexa over. Sorry, Shayna Baszler fans.
Yeah.
It's what's going to happen. Alexa's going to probably go over on us because she's the stronger of the two characters, and there's nothing wrong with someone beating someone else. It's the way wrestling works. Shayna's role here is to help elevate Alexa Bliss into whatever role she's going into next, whatever position she's going into next. I don't know what that may be, but we'll have to wait and see. But I think Alexa Bliss here is the one who's going to get the rub, and this is good for her. This will be her second match in 7 days. That's a good thing.
The fact that they're getting her back out in the ring makes me really, really happy, because there for a while she wasn't wrestling at all. She was just doing the Bray stuff, and they were really holding back on her. And it's just to really, I think, protect her, make sure she doesn't get hurt, make sure nothing happens to her, and also help her develop the new character that she was working on. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to have her wrestling in front of no crowds. They want her to be a special attraction. That's very, very clear. So they've been saving her to get her back out in front of crowds, and now they're starting to have her start to work again in the ring, which is good. It's great, because they need her in the women's division. They need another singles competitor in the division, because it's all tag teams for some reason right now. So you only have a handful of singles competitors.
Right, and the more reps, the better, just to knock off the ring rust before they get back out on the road. So I'm clearly going Alexa. You're going Alexa?
I'm going to say Alexa, yeah. No offense to Shayna. I love Shayna to death, but I think it's going to be Alexa.
Magic 8-Ball, does Shayna Baszler beat Alexa Bliss? You may rely on it, okay?
Wrestler 2.
Which I believe is Shayna.
Oh, wow. Okay, all right. I will say this. I think this is going to be the beginning of the end, if not the end, for Nia and Shayna. I think they're going to break them up.
Yeah, I think we're on the road to full-on Splitsville there, maybe. But we'll see.
We'll see. Speaking of two other ladies with a lot of heat in their match, we have the Raw Women's Championship on the line as Rhea Ripley defends against Charlotte Flair. They turned this up a little bit on Monday night, where you had the two get in a pull-apart brawl. Charlotte's nose got bloody then in the process. They're just ready to rip each other apart.
I really thought they were going to put them in the cell.
I thought they were too. I'm really surprised they didn't do it.
So all right, let's book this out. So they take Roman and Ray off the show on Sunday in the cell. They give us a second cell. They put it here on Sunday and leave whatever Roman Reigns is doing on Sunday out of the cell.
Could be.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because I feel like this feud deserves the cell. I feel like out of everything on the show, besides the other one that's in the cell, Bobby and Drew, this one's had the most build, because this has been building before Mania and through Mania, and just it has, you know, there's a story there. There's a legitimate feud between the two women, even if it's been over the love of Nikki Cross. The last few weeks, they have not done a great job of building up. They've done a good job of getting Nikki back on television, not giving her much credibility, but they've gotten her back on television. They've also not given Charlotte Flair any credible wins in a few weeks, which worries me on this, because you know, on a snap of a finger, credibility turned when you win the championship, which is something that could happen on Sunday. Then there's Rhea, who I guess is on a hotter streak, but again, she's been feuding about the Nikki stuff, and it's the momentum here for both women is not strong. Have they been on TV a lot? Yeah. Have they been winning a lot of matches? No. I mean, Rhea got the win over Asuka, so that kind of, like, if you're going on a scale, she's above Charlotte on that thing, but, like, it's not by much, because she lost to Nikki because she kicked too much ass, because she wasn't watching a 2-minute clock, which are still some of the dumbest stipulations you can do, but, again, it's building Nikki as a name back on television, putting her in that.
Another singles competitor.
Yeah. Getting her back on TV is always a good thing. So there's that. And it's very easy to give the belt back to Charlotte. Easy. It's something very simple. It's a WWE move, especially going back on the road. Hey, Charlotte Flair is your Raw Women's Champion. Giving her a title would be a smart move. But at the same point, she don't need the title. Rhea does need the title. She also needs a lot of new challengers, which would be Nikki Cross and Alexa and Nia probably as well, Shayna, and whoever else you can drum up for her, because she needs to, her and Charlotte after Sunday need to Splitsville. They need to go their separate ways. We do not need to see another match, even though we probably will. What will play key factor in all that is Money in the Bank is next month in front of people, so you can give Charlotte Money in the Bank for the first time, and you go from there. As far as Sunday goes, I'm My brain's kind of leaning towards Rhea.
I don't see a need to take the title off of Rhea unless they're going back out and they want Charlotte to have the title going back out. But she doesn't really need it. I feel like it's something that you could keep it in on Rhea and build a new dominant competitor. And you're using Charlotte's limelight to build Rhea. Because what I feel like we're watching right now, in part, is what we were supposed to see a year ago between Rhea and Charlotte, where the feud was really abruptly ended at WrestleMania because Rhea basically went home during the pandemic. Well, she went somewhere else during the pandemic.
There was talk of her going home, but she had visa issues that she had to correct. So she was off television for a month and a half. And then they did the In Your House match in a triple threat, and you go from there.
Yeah, so it's what we're seeing now, I feel like, is what we were supposed to see last year, and then there were issues and whatnot, and we didn't get to see it. And they moved both women on. Also, Charlotte got hurt at one point. She had to go get her boobs done, and then she just stayed off TV for a while. So they're kind of, I feel like, making up for lost time with this feud between the two. The match should be very good. It should be very entertaining, but I agree. I feel like you need to move them on from each other, or you need to do more with this, because it's like just them basically continuing to have matches with Nikki Cross, which is great because she's beating both of them. Technically, she should be the next number one contender because she has beaten Rhea Ripley now, I think, twice.
Once, but...
Once for sure.
But she's never pinned. Like, but, oh, wait, did she pin her in the tag? Yeah, maybe she pinned her in the tag.
I think she pinned her. I think she has. But Nikki Cross, by logic, should be the next number one contender.
Or did she pin Charlotte?
I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. This should be a SummerSlam match. I mean, yes and no. I mean, you could do it again at SummerSlam as a big attraction, but I don't know. Nikki and Wright should be number one contender. Also, Nikki Cross's Money in the Bank winner is also not a bad idea either.
I would be here for Nikki Cross being a Money in the Bank winner because she could terrorize both champions and she could just... Because she's that wild card, right? You don't know what she's going to do. And you don't know who she's going to go for. She could go for any of the three champions that she wanted to. It really, like, the world's kind of her oyster in that instance. So it would be a really good play for her to potentially get the Money in the Bank, because then she can go up to Rhea and be like, look what I got. And then the whole thing can be Rhea can be like, you got lucky. You sure about that? You sure I got lucky? You willing to put your money where your mouth is? One contract for one title? And see if what Rhea's willing to, you know, basically step up and take the bait.
Mm-hmm.
And you build a story around that with Rhea and Nikki. I think all in all, Rhea retains. I don't think it's going back onto Charlotte. I don't feel like she needs it. And honestly, she can have a series of losses because she's been so dominant for so long. It doesn't hurt her to lose, especially as a heel. It does not hurt her to lose right now. Now, she will need to get her wins back at some point, but not against Rhea and not right now.
So that, I'm going Rhea, you're going Rhea.
Yep.
Magic 8-Ball, does Rhea really retain? Most likely.
Okay.
Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
Rhea.
Okay. There's a lot of women's matches on this card tonight, or on Sunday.
Yeah, that's good.
There's three women's matches.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So the SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line as Bianca Belair defends against the formidable Bayley. This has been a fun little feud.
It's been a cackling feud. Get it? Because Bayley likes to cackle and then tormented Bianca with her cackling on all the monitors. Get it? And so Bianca was like, I want to fight you again. Okay. Cool. Yeah, Tim, that's not going to happen. Charlotte's always going to be in title picture. Unless she's off TV for a year, that's the only way she stays out of it. Just saying. Okay.
Hi, Tim!
Last month at, what was it? Backlash? WrestleMania Backlash. Bianca and Bayley had a pretty good match, and Bianca won straight up, and that's how it was. So them going one more round goes, well, we had no one else. Because it makes no sense for Bayley to get another shot because they just didn't have anyone else left to go. Will this match on Sunday be good? Hell yeah. Will Bayley actually win? No. I really love Bayley. The work she's doing is great. The segment on Friday with Seth Rollins was fantastic. The Ding Dong Hello show where Seth Rollins had his pants ripped off.
Okay, I'm just going to say this now. I'm a little disappointed that we're not getting Seth versus Cesaro, number one.
We probably could. They can add it tomorrow.
They could add it tomorrow, and two, that it is not a tuxedo match.
Okay,
I feel like Cesaro relieving Seth of his pants, even though it is completely, totally accidental, should be a sign from God that these two just need to rip each other's clothes off. Please, somebody make that happen. Adam Pierce, if you are within the sound of my voice, number one, hello. Number two, may I please have a tuxedo match between Seth Rollins and Cesaro? Okay, thanks, bye.
You good now?
Yes, I'm good.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Anyway, but the Ding Dong Hello show was fantastic with the two of them interviewing each other. It was
great.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Like, trying to think of ways to make Bayley give, like, you know, play, you know, devil's advocate. Go, hey, Bayley has this percentage chance of winning. Unless they're not seeing the movement with Bianca and they want to switch things up and put it back on Bayley and have Bianca chase a little bit. That's the only way I can see it. But we all know that this is just stalling for time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for the boss to return to get her rematch in front of the people, whether it be Money in the Bank, whether it be SummerSlam. This is the we're just getting by feud. That's where we're at right now.
Which there's certainly no shame in the fact that it is the we're getting by feud, because it allows Bianca to work with an incredibly credible opponent in the fact that Bayley is a multi-time champion. She's one of the longest reigning SmackDown champions, if not the longest reigning to date, because of how long she had it last year. So she's absolutely the right person to be working with Bianca right now, because it just gives Bianca more credibility that she has beaten a threat like Bayley multiple times. She beat Sasha for the title in one of the main events of WrestleMania. It's just building that resume for her and building her up.
Yeah.
To where she is a dominant force in the women's division. And it's something that when you go up against her, it's like, oh, snap, what do I do? Like, they're trying to do that, I think, for both her and Rhea by having them work with the likes of Charlotte and Bayley, because they have that credibility level there. They're both dominant champions, or they both were dominant champions. So it's like, if they can fend them off, then they're absolutely 100% credible and a threat to anybody in that division.
And she could be the first person, I don't want to say the first person, because Asuka, I think, did it. She'd be one of the few people to beat all the active horse women. Because my money is betting on Charlotte being drafted to SmackDown, and we get Charlotte Bianca this fall. That's where my money is. Like I said, there's no in my brain way to put Bayley over Bianca unless they really don't think Bianca is getting over. But again, you can't really tell because you don't have a crowd yet for another month. So we'll see. But I'm going Bianca.
Yeah, I say Bianca retains. There's no need to change the title here. So Bianca wins.
Magic 8-Ball, does Bianca Belair retain? My sources say no. Oh, so you don't like Bianca 8-Ball. Got it. Got it. Wheel.
Wow, 8-Ball.
Wrestler 2.
Okay, Wheel. That was Bayley. Okay. The inanimate objects are not on board with Bianca.
Wow, they are just, wow, okay.
Okay.
All right, they're being controversial. Damn.
Okay, then.
So last but certainly not least, your one Hell in a Cell match that is confirmed for the pay-per-view now. Bobby Lashley takes on Drew McIntyre for the title, and if Drew loses, he does not get another shot at the title while Bobby is champion.
Huh. Okay.
This is a really interesting quandary.
So usually when they pose those stipulations, the challenger
wins.
But the challenger beat the champion in a six-man on Monday. So in WWE logic, champ would then go over because you've already made the challenger look strong. And then having the challenger win on Sunday, you've been then beat the champion twice in a week. You give really no credibility for what would then be another rematch between the two at Money in the Bank, because he just lost twice. You just beat the man twice in a week. It makes no sense to go one more round, especially when the next round will be weaker than Hell in a Cell. That's just logic in my brain thinking.
Unless Drew wins Hell in a Cell, or wins Money in the Bank.
But that's different. But you can't, like, go into Money in the Bank giving this one more time. Money in the Bank has to be a different match. Drew, the chosen one, everyone's waiting for the moment with the pop of some kind. So him winning the title here with no pop, again, makes no sense. Like, it's like, what are you waiting for with Drew? Is it the fact that he's not, like, drawing in your eyes? Is he? I mean, he's been the guy for a year and a half. We talked to him a few weeks ago. Go to rockradioshow.com, listen to that interview. But it's like,
I would do that again, honestly.
So you're waiting for that. What are you waiting for with Drew? Is he stale? Do you need something for him else for him to do? Because, like, there's been a lot of criticism where it's like he keeps getting title shots. He's been in this picture for a year and a half now. Like, does he finally get the belt back and you move Bobby Lashley onto something else, maybe?
But who do you move him on to? Who do you have?
That's the million-dollar question. We asked them, the guys on Sunday a couple weeks ago, what that was, and they didn't really have, like, a great answer. They were going Brock Lesnar. But Bobby versus Kofi, like, that's a feud, but that's not, like, a main event feud. No disrespect to Kofi Kingston. He's not a main event feud with Bobby Lashley. It's not. It won't be. It's just, it's a mid-card feud.
I mean, the only thing I figure is that maybe they go ahead and they put the title on Drew at Hell in a Cell, and they have him to go out in front of the crowds, where he walks out with the title in front of the crowds. But I just don't see them... Because you can't wait another month to do that. Like, that's what's really messed up about this, unless you have him lose the title really quickly and then he wins it back again, but that's really convoluted and stupid. So it's like... The stipulation that he can't get another title shot
means there's a definitive ending Sunday.
Yeah, means this is over Sunday one way or another. The opposite side of that is that Bobby Lashley isn't resonating the way that they want him to. That he's not, because I mean, let's all be completely real. I love Bobby. I think he's done an amazing job. I think he's come leaps and bounds. But breaking up the Hurt Business has hurt Bobby and MVP.
Bobby's ladies have hurt him.
That too. Where it's, I understand they're going for a specific persona and image, but it's like, have Bobby be a badass. Don't have him sitting backstage with his ladies drinking cheap champagne. No offense, Corbell. If you're going to get him champagne, get good champagne. Anyway. But sitting backstage drinking champagne, like, I get that it's like, oh, I'm untouchable. I'm the almighty. I'm Bobby Lashley. Look how cool it is. I am. I have my lady friends and I have my champagne and I'm living the life and all that other stuff. But it's like, that doesn't scream dominant to me at all. Cause like, here's the thing. And I'm going to make the comparison because it's the only close comparison I have. When you compare Bobby to someone like Brock and you look at the two, Bobby has, it comes from a similar MMA background, right? He's got that credibility there, as did Brock. What made Brock work was Brock didn't give a shit. He would show up. He would beat the crap out of somebody. He would take their title if there was a title involved, and he would leave. And he didn't give a crap what anybody thought.
So the phrase, eat, sleep, conquer, repeat.
And he had Heyman deal with all his crap, because all he wanted to do was fight people and get paid. That was it. That's Brock's character to a T. You look at Bobby, and I'm not saying Bobby has to do that, because they're trying to give Bobby personality. They're trying to do things like that. But it's like, Bobby shouldn't give a shit about anything. He's the WWE champion. WWE?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the WWE champion. It's not, I'm going to show up every week. It's, you know what? I'll show up when I want to show up. Because I'm the almighty Bobby Lashley. Why should I waste my time being here? That's why I have MVP. You should have Bobby just not sitting backstage drinking champagne with his ladies, and he's coming out with his ladies and he's having that persona. It's Bobby just shouldn't basically be bothered by anybody or anything, especially like insults. It's like, really, that's the best you can do? That's the best that you have? Do you know who I am? I'm Bobby MFing Lashley. I'm the WWE champion. I'm, you know, whatever his credibility is for MMA, which I don't know if it's good or bad.
It's pretty solid.
You know, it's like, I've done all of this. So, who are you to me?
Exactly. So
you're nothing.
Bobby Lashley should not be the poor man's Ric Flair, the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun. Woo. Because that's what sort of the persona he's trying to play with the ladies. Remember, you know, Flair and the ladies from the mid-90s, the four horsemen, where they would always have the ladies and stuff like that, because you're building, you know, this image. And it worked when you had a Hurt Business and you could build around it. You went from Bobby Lashley being all business to then being laid back in a split second. It just sort of like, wait, what? Where are we here now?
Yeah, and what made the Hurt Business really work was you had layers to get to Bobby Lashley. So you had to go through Shelton and Cedric to get to Bobby. You had to go through MVP to get to Bobby. It just made him that much more untouchable. And that's really what he should be, is just untouchable, where it's you have to go through 16 hoops to get to him. You want a match? Okay, all right. You have to do all these things before you can get a match. Because I just don't fight anybody, and I don't fight on TV. I only fight on pay-per-view.
Attraction. That's what he should be. Like, your champions, your top champions should always be the attraction, which is why it's weird that the Roman Reigns is fighting tomorrow on SmackDown for that.
There's going to be some level of shenanigans with that.
Besides the point. Unless on special occasions a champion should be in action in a title match on television.
Because, like, the flip side to this is Drew. Drew is your everyman champion, right? He's the man of the people. He's lovable. He's personable. He comes out in a great kilt. He's your everyday guy, right?
He has a sword.
You know, he's just himself. He's just Drew McIntyre. There's no pretentiousness there. There's no...
A little bit.
A little bit. He has an ego. But, you know, he's not a dick about that.
No, well, I mean, a little bit. But anyway, continue. I see your point.
To people he doesn't like.
Yeah.
To the crowds, he's not a dick. He's a babyface. He's a nice guy. He's somebody that you want to hang out with and have coffee while you chat.
RackRaiderShow.com.
So, that's Drew. And he owns it, and he works it. And I think if you got him in front of crowds, and it would work for him, because he could pop the crowds. He could make his... He could be that smart ass that we know he is, and that what he's been doing. And I think that's what's been hurting Drew, and to a certain extent Bobby as well, is that they just do not have that audience feedback, and so they can't adjust as they need to. But I think it's like, if you could get Drew and Bobby in front of a crowd, it would be a little different. But that's Drew,
which we saw at WrestleMania, right? It was really good in front of a crowd.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. So it's like, what do? Do you go with the everyman champion? Because here's the thing. The flip side is they aren't waiting to pull the trigger on Drew. They might be waiting to pull the trigger on Bobby, where they give Bobby the pop, which he technically got at WrestleMania, but you give Bobby the full pop. And you make him, you have him lose the title here. He challenges Drew at either Money in the Bank or at SummerSlam, and he wins his title back. Like, it's convoluted, but that's what I'm just trying to understand, because it's like, taking Drew out of the title picture, for me, it's like, where do you go after Drew?
I mean, Drew, you throw Drew and Money in the Bank and you see where the cards lie at that point.
But who do you even put in Money in the Bank? Who's going to do Money in the Bank this year?
You need 3-3 or 4-4. You get Drew on Raw side. You can definitely put Kofi in. Unless Kofi's working Bobby at Money in the Bank. No,
they won't have Brady Money in the Bank.
I mean, you could, but I don't know. There's always
the only way is if you put Bray in and he doesn't show up until the very end, and then he just massacres everybody and he takes the briefcase. That's about the only way that Bray works in that match, but you shouldn't be having Bray in a ladder match. He doesn't need to be doing that. The Fiend wouldn't work in that concept.
You can put John Morrison in the Money in the Bank because he'll be your bump guy. AJ Styles always works in those type of matches. Even though he's the tag champ, he works well in it for Raw. You got Big E for SmackDown. You got... You can always throw Seth Rollins or Cesaro in there for SmackDown as well. So there's your SmackDown heavy side. I mean, there's plenty of names. Raw's a little bit weaker, but Raw's always a little bit weaker. I mean, you have, because they have names. They just have to remember who they are. Damian Priest, Keith Lee, guys. So there's names. Like, Damian Priest could be in the title picture next, even though he has been on TV in like 2 weeks, or 1 week was the week before he was pitching stuff with Riddle, and then talking about live events and stuff like that. So, I mean, there are names. You have names. It's just how you want to use them. I mean, because I just scrolled .com. I mean, everyone wants this feud. Please don't ask me why.
I think you could get it.
Jinder and Drew, I just don't.
Oh, that feud? Yeah, no, please.
Don't ask me why people want it. I mean, three-man band, great. You want a low-card, mid-card act thing as the basis for a feud. I don't get it. I don't understand, but I digress.
What happened to Jinder, by the way? They brought him back like 1 week.
I don't know.
And then they like never did anything with him. Has like, he been on tag team? And they like,
has he been on main event? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's like, where did Jinder go? Because they brought like Jinder back, and he's not been on TV since that happened.
Like, he beat Jeff Hardy, and everyone was in an uproar about it, and then
nothing. Like, so I was like, wait, where did Jinder go? Because, I mean, technically you could throw Jinder in there because he's a former champion. So he could feud against Lashley. Like, I don't know. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, if you take Drew out, who do you put against Lashley next? Because it's like, you have Kofi, which Kofi would be okay. Kofi would be a good bridge for whoever they're going to do after Kofi. But I don't think it's necessarily the most exciting thing because they are planting those seeds with MVP basically saying to Kofi, Creed's holding you back. Or Woods is holding you back. And Woods is like, excuse me? But the flip side could be maybe they're setting up Woods versus Lashley.
Because Woods has been having great matches lately. And but Woods for King of the Ring.
Woods for King of the Ring. But you could do that. You could be subtly setting up Xavier Woods. Because he's the only one that hasn't gotten the singles run yet. Like, they split E out. And they have E doing the singles thing. And they gave Kofi the title. And he had that big singles run. And then there's Austin. And granted, he was hurt. He's hurt for a really long time. So it's like, now that he's back and he's with Kofi, it's like, are they going to give Austin the singles run? So that way all three of them get it. Because I feel like Austin does deserve it, for sure.
Woods does deserve it. I don't know. I think he's more of a background, a second player than a top player. Just in terms of character-wise. That's just the way he fits. But Lashley and Woods on a one-off on Raw or something, wouldn't it be the worst idea. Especially in front of people, wouldn't it be the worst idea.
Wouldn't be the worst idea, no. So, I mean, you could do Xavier Woods, you could do Kofi. Randy's in a tag team with
Riddle,
so he's out of the picture for right now. You could always move him out. We're a month away from TV. In theory, Bray Wyatt is supposed to come back at some point, although I'm a firm believer at this stage that he's never coming back.
He'll be back, but you don't put him in the top picture right away. That's just not the right move.
No, you build him up. But, so you'll have that. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know we've gone off on this weird tangent where we're supposed to be talking about this match. Like, the match itself will be fine. We've seen it before. It'll be good. It'll be in a cell. It should be brutal. Because, I mean, they've shown the propensity for brutality. I don't know who to pick. Because it's like, okay, so if Lashley wins, Drew's out, so where do they go to next? That I don't know. And with the way that they've been setting things up lately, they haven't necessarily been doing a good job on the setup for the next feud, unless they've already started it with Austin and Kofi. Or excuse me, Xavier and Kofi. I keep calling him Austin. Xavier and Kofi. If Drew wins, Drew gets the title back, you have him as champion when you go back in front of fans, which is, I think, what they wanted, was for Drew to be your champion, and he gets that pop as the champion that he so richly deserves.
It's all confusing. Let's be real.
But it's like that, then what do you do with Bobby? Do you do one more match between the two where Bobby gets a rematch? Do you have Bobby now have to go in the chase? I mean, what... Because, you know, obviously the question also stands, well, if you put the title on Drew, where do you go with Drew? Who do you have Drew face first that is not Bobby Lashley? And I don't know the answer to that question. I love Drew. I don't think he wins. I think it's going to be Bobby.
I think it's going to be Bobby as well.
Unless Bray Wyatt manifests himself in the Hell in a Cell and he kills both of them. Just gonna keep doing it, chat. I'm just gonna keep saying the name until I manifest that idiot. Just gonna keep doing it.
Bobby Lashley wins on Sunday. Magic 8-Ball, does Bobby Lashley win on Sunday?
Nope.
Okay.
Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
That would be the champion, Bobby Lashley.
Alright, so the inanimate objects are split, but I think that does it. What do you think?
It does. Next week, when The Rock turns 9. We'll bring back the news. We'll bring back Tweet of the Week. We'll have all your favorite things. We'll review Hell in a Cell. And NXT next week on the show. So next week will probably be a little bit of an extended, longer show. Because it's a 9-year show. It's the one where we turn 9.
It's hard to believe it's been 9 years.
Especially last year, it was just whatever. Anyway.
I feel like last year doesn't count in so many different ways.
But it does.
It does. But yeah, I feel like the last year should just not count for anybody because reasons.
Anyway, this match does it for us here tonight. We'll see you Saturday night, midnight-ish, for another edition of CB Radio, CBRadioLab.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. It's going to be an interesting one on Saturday, chat. Just be ready. Sunday night Wrestle Talk Radio returns probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock, probably 11, for Hell in a Cell review with Tim and the gang. Monday night's Raw Post Show live, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back, as mentioned, for The Rack Turns 9 next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have the Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account, and that's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also do the Discord command and join our brand new Discord.
You can go talk hockey with Tim.
You can go talk hockey with Tim in Tim's Hockey Lounge. Or the other sections we have, video games, sports, you know the whole deal. We talk pro wrestling. Come there for the Hell in a Cell chat with Tim. Signing him up for that now. So do that. Just do the Discord command and all that fun stuff. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Hey guys, did you know you can use creator code Rockinsock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store? Why?
Because we are Epic Partners.
Ding.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD, and you can check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We will see you next week. Until then, you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we are out. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.